Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.
After seeing, subhanAllah, the effect of the Prophet's life upon his community, his family, his friends, and his enemies, now we should ask ourselves a question. Could we leave such an impact? How could we actualize this impact of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam amongst our friends, our community, our family, our children, and our enemies? How could we leave the impact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam left before our eyes? Let's ask ourselves some questions now. How can we achieve this? Insha'Allah, let's address some of the ways, insha'Allah ta'ala, that we can, insha'Allah, achieve this legacy. And when we meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will meet us, insha'Allah, being happy that we carried on this legacy. Number one, perhaps the most important aspect that has to be mastered in wanting to leave this legacy is that we need to understand Islam. We should understand Islam correctly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِينَ عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O my Lord, give us good in this life and good in the hereafter and save us from the hellfire. Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that good in this life is the understanding of the Qur'an. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as related by Muawiyah, مَنْ يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good for, he gives him or her the understanding of faith, the understanding of this religion. If we look now in front of us, we see Islam being maligned from the outside and the inside. From the inside, the Muslims themselves, those who lack the understanding of Islam, the correct understanding, are doing more damage than good in the name of Islam and creating more problems for us as a nation. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his greatest companion was Abu Bakr. And shortly before the death of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam gave a speech. And in that speech, as related by Al-Bukhari, the Prophet Muhammad said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a servant of his a choice between this life and what's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beautiful things of this life and what's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this servant has chosen what's with Allah azza wa jal. Suddenly Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he began to cry, he began to weep. To the extent that the other companions around him, they became shocked. And they were saying, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? Why is he weeping? This is something great, mashallah. Now let me repeat the hadith again, because maybe it passed by you. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascends the minbar and he gives this speech. And he says that indeed, there is a servant from the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has been given a choice between the beauty of this life, choosing the beauty of this life, or meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this servant has chosen what's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you guess, subhanAllah, what's going on here? If you're listening now to this hadith, when the Prophet said that he chose what's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what's being implied here? Why did Abu Bakr suddenly burst into tears? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he commented on this hadith and he said something very beautiful. He said, this hadith shows us something about the remarkable nature of Abu Bakr. The people sitting with Abu Bakr all possessed the same language that Abu Bakr spoke. They all understood as Abu Bakr understood the language. But Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he understood something that no one else understood but himself. And Ibn Taymiyyah said, this is one of the qualities or characteristics that made Abu Bakr who he was, made him one of the greatest companions of the Prophet, or the greatest, excuse me, companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was the ability to understand. Abu Bakr is understanding that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is implying that he's going to die, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to leave this earth. Abu Bakr, understanding this, he was overcome by grief and he began to shed tears. And Ibn Taymiyyah said, this is the sign for those who want to know why Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was so great, because he had this strong understanding and this deep, deep, deep familiarity with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his legacy. One time Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, he was sitting with a muhaddith. And this muhaddith, he was relating a hadith to Abu Hanifa. And Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu, as they were sitting and discussing hadith, I mean, nowadays, what do people sit and listen to, you know? In those days, they used to listen to top 10 hadith. Nowadays, we listen to top 10 DVD, top 10 MP3s and CDs and so on. SubhanAllah, in those days, they used to listen to top 10 hadith. And suddenly a man, he came to Abu Hanifa and he requested a religious ruling. And this person who was sitting in front of Abu Hanifa, he was a muhaddith. And he responded to the questioner by saying, "I don't know." Then the man, he turned to Abu Hanifa and he said, "What do you think?" And Abu Hanifa, he gave a ruling, he gave a religious ruling. Suddenly this muhaddith, he turned to Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu and he said, "Ya Abu Hanifa, Abu Hanifa, where did you get this ruling from?" And suddenly Abu Hanifa, he turned to him and he said, "I got it from the hadith which you just quoted." Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. This man, he has the hadith memorized. He has the text memorized. Abu Hanifa, he did not have this hadith memorized. But the difference was what? Abu Hanifa's ability to understand the text and derive lessons from the text. Imam al-Qushayri rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in his famous Risala that there are three major goals of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and striving to be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of those he mentioned, number one, was a sound understanding of faith. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after giving people Islam, there is no better gift, better than a sound understanding of faith. Sihatul fahm. Having this correct understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to those people who strive to be close to Him. And he said, subhanallah, that after a sound understanding, the next best gift is sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him, that those people who have been given this sincerity, these are those who have been guided from the way of those who've gone into the area of earning the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. غير المغضوب عليهم. And he said, those people who have been given a sound understanding, these are those who have been saved from going into the way of those who went astray. So Ibn al-Qayyim summarizes and says that those people who were given a sound understanding and sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gives them a beautiful name. He says, they are Ahlul Sirat al-Mustaqim. These are the people of the straight path, the people of Sirat al-Mustaqim. A sound understanding. What are some things that we can do in the West to attain this sound understanding, inshaAllah ta'ala, and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one, we should understand the major goal of Islam. The major goal of Islam. What does Islam seek to do? And the ulama, they said, subhanAllah, very beautifully, that the goal of Islam is to bring benefit and prevent harm. That the goal of Islam is to bring benefit and prevent harm from others. In fact, Izzeddin Abdul Salam radiallahu anhu, he said that if you look in the Quran, any time you come upon a verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu," O you who profess faith, he says that one of two outcomes will happen after this beautiful call. Either that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you to something that will bring a benefit to you, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call you to something that will prevent a hardship from you. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْرِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who profess faith, indeed fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was those before you, so what? And look at the bringing of benefit, so that you can attain this piety with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. O you who believe, if a rebellious person comes to you with some information, verify that information before you spread it. Why? Because if you spread this information out of ignorance and you hurt someone, later on you're going to regret that you did this. Here in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing what? What do you think? Is He bringing a benefit or is He keeping harm from you? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting us, alhamdulillah, from harm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He described the goal of the Prophet's message when He said, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We didn't send you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except as a mercy for everything that exists. Even the jinns benefited positively from the message of the Prophet. Inna sami'na Qur'anan ajaba. Indeed, the jinns, they say, we heard a Qur'an which is amazing. Yahdi ila rushdi fa amanna bih. And they said, indeed, this Qur'an guides to righteousness and we believe in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, describing the message of the Prophet Muhammad, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad, we have not sent you except for all of humanity, every single person we've sent you to, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And strengthening that is also the ayah found in Surah Al-A'raf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا.
Say, O Muhammad, I am the messenger of Allah sent to all humanity. Thus the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this message of benefit and preventing harm and bringing good to people is for all human beings in the jinn. Even subhanAllah, the Prophet Muhammad, as related by Al-Bukhari, he used to give the khutbah on a tree stump. And after some time, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they built for him a minbar. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam relocated from the place of the tree stump to the minbar. And subhanAllah, when he did so, this tree stump was heard crying out of the absence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, missing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, missing the divine reminders, missing the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the verses of the Qur'an. Ya Allah, this is a tree stump. What part of the body of the Prophet used to be on this tree stump? His feet. And still subhanAllah, it's crying out of missing the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. In our houses now, in the masjids that we go to, we have the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the example of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of us. But where is the longing to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to practice his example, to live according to his noble values? Bilal radiyallahu anhu, when he was on his deathbed, he was crying, and people were asking him, "Why are you crying? Are you upset? Are you worried that, you know, something might happen to you?" He said, "No, I'm crying because tomorrow, I will be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tomorrow I will see Al-Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tomorrow I'll be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Ya Allah, look at the longing of Bilal radiyallahu anhu to be with his friend Al-Habib alayhi salatu wasalam. Something we can do here, just a small note, is that once a week we should try to practice one sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Can you imagine, for example, in your place of work or in your school, if you practice the sunnah of smiling at others? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that smiling is a charity. Imagine how you could change things. You know, if you have children in your home, you can make a nice little picture or sign and say, "This is the sunnah of the week." And you can keep a schedule. "Ya Muhammad, did you practice the sunnah today at school? Ya Fatima, did you smile today at your teacher? Did you smile today at your co-workers?" SubhanAllah, then at the end of the week, whoever practiced the sunnah the most, Baba or Mama can buy them, inshaAllah ta'ala, a small gift, maybe some candy, maybe some, you know, take them to a place that they like to eat, and so on and so forth, to bring back the sunnah. The sunnah is with us, subhanAllah, do we miss it as this tree missed the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So understanding that the main goal of the Prophet Muhammad's message was to bring good to people and prevent harm from them. Another area that this can be applied is within the Muslim community itself. I mean, for example, sometimes you go to the masjid and you see something that you don't like, or you see some mistake. And we see many times people get mad and they start to complain and point fingers, and the president is removed and the imam is gone, who's only been there for a few weeks, and chaos breaks out. A simple example is like, for example, when you go to the masjid and you see that the floor is smelly or that the shoe rack is unkept. You know, the temptation is to start to complain and say, "You know, what's this, that, let's call elections, let's take over the joint." But why not just go get some carpet fresh, put it on the floor and vacuum the floor? Why not yourself tidy up the shoe rack? Why not put some incense sticks in the masjid? Do your part. The revolution, as they say, has to start somewhere. Contribute something positive. It's always easy to blame the coach when you're not playing in the field but sitting in the stands. So here, if we have this positive outlook, this good outlook, we can contribute things to our community and play a role in supporting the legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This brings us to the next point. And that is that the ways of doing good are many. We should not restrict the ways of doing good. For many years, Muslims have assumed that the only ways that they can do good are by praying, by paying zakah, by fasting in the month of Ramadan, and making hajj. No doubt these are the pillars of goodness. These things have to be observed as best we can, alhamdulillah, because this makes the foundation of the Muslim personality. And as Ibn Rajabi said, what type of building can exist without pillars? But also you have to understand something, that this is not the sum total of ibadah. This is part of ibadah. And one of the reasons for this misconception is that many people are not aware that this understanding of ibadah, meaning that worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is restricted to the five pillars of Islam, is the understanding of the fuqaha. When the fuqaha use the word ibadah, because this is what they deal with, they understand it in the realm of the five pillars that are very famous to us. However, in general, when they use the word ibadah, they understand it to mean everything that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything that will bring about the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, someone being scared of Allah is an act of ibadah. Someone loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is an act of ibadah. Removing something from the middle of the road is an act of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just those five pillars which are very famous, although they are the core foundation of our worship, there are also many other aspects of worship which come into play. And for that reason, it's important that as communities we open up and we seek volunteers from within our community. Nowadays we have a group of Muslims who I like to call the post-MSA depression syndrome Muslims. Those Muslims who have passed the age of 25, 26, they're in their 30s, and they're talented people. They're members of many, many important professional groups and organizations. But their contribution to our communities is limited by a lack of communication between the leadership and this age group. They're not being used. Their talents are being exploited by major corporations. But within the Muslim community themselves, we see that they're almost absent. In fact, some people have said that they're MIA, missing in action, not by choice, but by force. It's important now that Muslim communities realize we need these young people.